Straight Talk Wireless has now rolled out 5G coverage nationwide with no contract, all on America's best networks. Straight Talk Wireless, no contract, no compromise. Available at Walmart and Walmart.com. 5G capable device required. Actual availability, coverage, and speed may vary. 26-year-old Chase Massner had deployed overseas during the Iraq War and won multiple medals for his service before he was honorably discharged. He was reportedly struggling to find happiness after he returned to civilian life in Metro Atlanta. He was convinced his marriage was falling apart. Some who knew Chase said he lived with PTSD and struggled with addiction. And then one day, he abruptly disappeared in 2014 after getting into an argument with his wife. The 185 pages long Cobb County Police investigative report on the case is full of bad tips, conspiracy theories on social media, and missed opportunities. The Chase Massner case would eventually go cold, leading everyone following along to wonder, would there ever be answers for his family, let alone justice? This is Jillian, and in partnership with Law and Crime, you are listening to Court Junkie, episode 171. It's back to school time, and if your kid is anything like mine, it can be hard to find something that's both delicious and healthy to put in their lunchbox. Uprising has nailed both the taste and the health factor with their yummy selection of foods. They've got sourdough cubes, which is a healthier alternative to bread, sea salt chips, savory rye chips, and their newly launched Freedom Chips, all packed with delicious guilt-free ingredients like almonds, MCT oil, and apple cider vinegar. Personally, I love their starter bundler sample, where you can try it all. And you may remember me talking about this before, but this was my daughter's reaction when she first tried the savory rye chips.
Those are my favorite,
she said. Uprising covers from paleo to clean keto to simple low carb to high fiber to dairy free to grain free lifestyles. Go to uprisingfood.com and use the code COURT to get $10 off the starter bundle. It's kind of like a mini trip to the grocery store, minus all the unhealthy distractions. And they ship directly to your door. That's uprisingfood.com and use my code COURT to get $10 off your first order. One of my goals this summer was to sign my daughter up for as many fun outdoor activities as possible. Soccer, dance class, summer camp. And thankfully, she's been loving all of it. And I have to admit that it gives me a little extra me time, which means I get more time to play Best Fiends, the super fun Match 3 mobile puzzle game. Once you start playing Best Fiends, you won't want to stop. I think I've played about 50 or so additional levels since the last time I told you guys about it, and I reached my goal, which was to get to level 400. Best Fiends has thousands of puzzles, and they add new ones all the time, so you'll never be bored. There are tons of cute characters to collect, my favorite one being Beebert the Bumblebee with his cute little glasses. It's free to download, and you can play it anywhere, anytime without Wi-Fi, which is great for when you're traveling. Download the 5-star rated puzzle game Best Fiends free today on the App Store or Google Play. That's friends without the R, Best Fiends. In the days before his disappearance, in March 2014, Chase had been staying with his mom. He was having problems with his wife, Amanda Massner. The couple, who were the parents of two young daughters, reportedly needed some space from each other. Investigators interviewed Amanda shortly after his disappearance. She said the last time she had seen Chase was on March 26, 2014. Amanda told investigators she had picked Chase up from his mother's house so he could spend some time with their children. They had gotten into an argument, and Chase said he was going to stay with his friend, Brad. He also made a comment about wanting to go live in the woods. She dropped him off at the Quick Trip convenience store, where Chase worked as the nighttime assistant manager. Then, Amanda said she never saw her husband again. In her interview, she said Chase, who had been deployed overseas in Iraq and returned to civilian life around 2011, had a history of drug and alcohol abuse. But she said Chase was a devoted father, something that others who knew him told police too, even though some said he was struggling with mental health issues and was despondent over his struggling marriage. Many in his inner circle doubted Chase would leave his family or hurt himself. He wasn't carrying his .45 caliber handgun. He had left the weapon at home. According to the police report, quote, Amanda stated she did not believe Chase would harm himself because he loved his family too much. For the same reason, she did not think he would abandon the family either. Amanda cooperated with the investigation, allowing investigators to search her cell phone. They read through her text messages. After she had dropped him off at the convenience store, she had texted him goodnight. Are you somewhere safe and warm, baby? I need to know before I can sleep, she wrote to him at 10:07 p.m. on March 26th. You can go to sleep, Chase responded about 40 minutes later. I love you. The Cobb County Police Department didn't believe there were signs of foul play when they began investigating the missing persons report. According to the police report, an investigator told Chase's mom that as an adult, Chase had the right to come and go as he pleased. Tips soon began pouring in from people who wondered if they had spotted the missing man and reached out to the police department, trying to be helpful. One woman thought she saw someone who looked like Chase, chasing a man on a road. Two military veterans who met over McDonald's coffee every morning swore they recognized him there. Investigators even went to the fast food restaurant and pulled surveillance footage, but they didn't see Chase. Throughout what would become a lengthy police investigation, people would report sightings of Chase or share controversial theories on social media. Rarely did any of it ever result in tangible leads, as the Chase Massner case garnered more and more public attention. One name came up early on in the investigation, Brad Clement. Brad and Chase had only known each other for 6 months, a new friendship blossoming. The two men had met each other through Brad's ex-roommate who had introduced them, and Brad was a regular at the convenience store where Chase worked. They had only socialized together a half dozen or so times, but Chase sometimes turned to Brad and opened up about his struggles in his home life. From the police report, quote, Brad stated he would remind Chase of all the good things he had going for him, his wife, his kids, his job, and try to get him to see that. Police interviewed Brad, who gave an account of his friendship with Chase and the time they spent together on March 26, 2014, making him likely the last person to have seen Chase before he disappeared. March 26 had been random, as Brad put it. That night, Amanda and Chase had gotten into their latest argument, and she dropped him off at the convenience store. It was Brad who came by the Quick Trip and gave Chase a ride home after work, he told police. He said Chase kept talking about staying in the woods. Brad said he offered him a place to stay, convincing him to stay at his house for the night. He described Chase as crying for help. According to Brad, Chase wanted to meet up with a man, someone whose name started with a P, like Patrick or Philip, Brad said, to get some pain pills. Knowing it was a bad idea for his vulnerable friend, Brad talked Chase out of it. He said he convinced him just to stay put and to crash at his place for the night. Quote, We asked Brad about Chase's state of mind that night. He advised that Chase had mentioned hurting himself, but he did not seem the type of person to actually do something. He cited the fact that Chase loved his kids. Also from the police report, quote, While talking, Chase mentioned he needed some money. Brad stated he put $50 on the nightstand beside Chase when he went to sleep and told him that he could use it if he needed. Brad originally stated that Chase needed the money to buy drugs, but when pressed on how he knew that, Brad admitted he assumed that was what the money was for. He said Chase fell asleep around midnight. Brad was in the middle of a home renovation project to fix up his house. roofers in the middle of a two-day job were coming over at 6 a.m. With that on his mind, Brad said he stayed up working on his computers. He told investigators that Chase seemed to be really exhausted. Early the next morning, Brad woke Chase up and asked him if he wanted to go on a trip to the store. Chase said he preferred to stay in bed. Brad took Chase's phone and contacted Amanda to let her know her husband was safe with him. Investigators read Brad's text message to Amanda. It read, "Hey, it's Brad. Is Chase supposed to be at work this morning? He was so exhausted that he just passed out, and I've been trying to wake him up, but he's out cold still. Breathing, so no worries. I've just never seen someone that hard to wake up. He passed out across my bed. Just hope everything's going good with you all, and sorry for texting you so early, but if he's got work, I'll get him up right now and take him there." The text was sent at 7:20 a.m. from Chase's phone. Amanda sounded appreciative in her reply. She responded, "Thank you so much for helping out, Brad. He does not have to work until Friday night. This is his weekend day. Thank you for being a good friend to him. He's just lost right now. Feel free to call me or text me anytime with anything." Brad and Amanda exchanged a few more messages. Brad offered encouragement to Amanda, adding smiley face emojis in his replies. "Anytime. He's a great guy. I swear all I ever tell him is how lucky he is, and that life doesn't get much better than having two kids and a wife that loves you. But anytime you all need anything, just give me a shout and I'll do what I can. Glad he doesn't have to work, though. I was getting worried." "Thank you so much," Amanda responded. "All I ever want for him is to feel that way." Brad wrote back, "Being in the service can do a number on your head. Really think that is the root of why he thinks he's not happy, and he can't ever tell me why he thinks that. I mean, there's no doubt that he loves you and the girls to death. I've been in his shoes before." Brad invited Amanda and their two daughters over for the grill out he was planning that day. "Her kids would love his husky," he wrote. The invitation to come over and hang out was open-ended. "Maybe some other time down the road." Brad texted, "I love cooking, so anytime you guys want to eat and just relax, soon I'll have the den finished, so we'll have an adult den and a kid's den. I got plenty of stuff to keep the girls having fun, but the good thing is the room is really close, but just enough so we can burn on the low. Don't ever feel like you can't bring the girls." Brad acknowledged to Amanda that he wanted to meet somebody someday and maybe have a kid of his own. By the early morning of March 27th, the roofers arrived on site to finish the job. Leading the crew of workers was Brandon Duck. According to the police report, after meeting with the roofers, Brad left to go to Lowe's or Home Depot. Brad said he left a note for Chase in case he woke up and realized his phone was missing. When Brad got back from the store, he said Chase woke up momentarily and Brad returned the phone. Chase then fell back to sleep while Brad headed outside to work. "By the way, your guy must have been really worn out. He still won't get up. I just threw a blanket on him," Brad texted Amanda. He then started up the grill to cook lunch for the roofers. Somehow, in the process of cooking, Brad said he set the backyard on fire. Quote, "He grilled out using coals, and some of the coals fell on the ground and started a fire. The roofers had to help him put the fire in his yard out." After the fire was out, the food was cooked and it was time to eat. Brad said he went inside to wake Chase up, but by then, Chase was gone.
And I even asked the roofers, like, if they saw, like, which direction he went. Did he go into the woods? Did he go towards the highway? And, I mean, they don't know.
Like, did they see him leave?
Brandon doesn't see him leave, but the Mexican guys, I think they did. They were on the roof.
Okay.
You know, so.
Okay.
But, you know, they just didn't really know, like, where he was going, if he was, you know, headed somewhere. I mean, it's like, they didn't even know he was here, except when I was telling them. I was like, look, my buddy's upstairs sleeping, you know. I'm cooking out, and I had all this food made, and that's what was kind of, you know, it wasn't like him not to tell me that he was leaving.
Right.
And, I mean, just kind of left me hanging with all the food and everything. I was calling him.
Brad checked with Brandon Duck, one of the roofers, to see if he had noticed where Chase went.
I looked all around the house, I looked in the basement, and just to see if he like went somewhere else to go to sleep. And I mean, I even had Brandon in here with me. Brandon was in the house with me for a while too, though. And I told him, I was like, "Have you guys seen my friend?" And he was like, "No, we haven't seen him like, you know, do anything, hanging out or anything." Mm-hmm. So it was really kind of odd, like, because, you know, he had to have gone, like, I guess when we were out back fixing the fire.
The roofers hadn't seen Chase leave either. Brad said he called Chase's phone, but nobody answered. He assumed he had slipped out and returned home after a night away from his wife. But Amanda called Brad later in the day. Her husband never came home.
Is there, like, people getting abducted? Is that, like, a common thing here?
We don't have anything that says he's been abducted.
Okay.
Nothing, no evidence. We don't know what's happened to him, but we have no evidence or anything like that to say that something foul play-like or anything like that's happened to him. It's just a mystery right now. Our concern is that, you know, he's passed somewhere and we just don't realize it. You know, or he's decided just to check out life for a little while and take a break. You know, that's happened before. People just decide to, I need some time to myself.
That's what I'm hoping on.
But, you know, it's going on, you know, a little over a week now. And generally when people do that, it goes for a couple of days and then they make recon, particularly when they have a wife and kids, you know, just for the kids. When you were talking with him, did he ever mention anything as far as where his mindset was as far as harming himself or hurting himself or anything like that?
That's the thing. He never seemed like he would hurt himself. Like, mm-hmm. You know, if anything, like, you know, it wasn't for him, but for his kids. Like, mm-hmm. He wouldn't do something like that. Like, I never once would have guessed him to harm himself.
Okay.
Like, that just doesn't, that's why I keep thinking that, like, he walked off and somebody, like, wanted to give him a ride and that was just like, mm-hmm. You know, because that's, I couldn't see him harm himself like that.
Just before 5 p.m. that day, Amanda texted Chase, "Are you awake, honey?" Then, around 7 p.m., "If you get this, please let me know you're okay." And on March 28th, the following day, "I'm really worried about you. I love you. Please let me know you're okay." She tried Chase again on April 3rd. "Chase, please come back to me," she texted. Meanwhile, Brad was cooperating with the police. He let Cobb County Detective Chris Twiggs search his yard. The detective noticed burnt leaves and earth. "That's where the grill fire happened," Brad told him. The detective walked through all the rooms of Brad's house, and the basement too. "We did not see anything out of the ordinary or suspicious," Detective Twiggs wrote in the police report. Investigators returned multiple times to Brad's home at 555 Farmbrook Lane. It was the last place where Chase had been seen after all. Detective Twiggs and a colleague went back on April 3rd when Brad wasn't home. They left a business card in the door, requesting Brad call them. They walked around the house but didn't see anything suspicious or out of the ordinary. They even checked the garbage that was at the driveway to see if anything abnormal was being thrown out. But it was just construction items and regular trash bags containing normal items you'd expect to see. The only thing they could smell was, well, garbage. Two Cobb County detectives returned again on April 10th to walk through a wooded area near the clubhouse by Brad's home. They looked for other secluded spots in Brad's subdivision, but there didn't seem to be any isolated areas. "We found nothing of interest," the police report said. Meanwhile, the public was getting involved. The case details had been circulating online and attracting attention. According to the police report, quote, "Brad advised that he had been contacted by multiple persons since Chase went missing. Some identified themselves as law enforcement, some private investigators, and one as a military investigator. He stated persons had been threatening him and accusing him of harming Chase. Brad stated he was not talking to anyone else except the Cobb County Police." Investigators sought to interview those who were present on March 27th at Brad's home, the roofers. On April 4th, one detective called Brandon Duck, the supervisor of the crew who had been working there. Quote, "Brandon confirmed that Brad had wanted to grill some food for the crew to show his appreciation. During the day, Brad somehow set the backyard on fire. Brandon did not recall seeing anyone else at the house beside his crew and Brad. He never saw Chase leave. Brandon also asked his crew if anyone saw Chase leave. No one saw Chase, and they did not see him leave. Detective Twiggs also eventually located the Philip, whom Brad had mentioned might be selling Chase pain pills. Philip had been incarcerated the night Chase went missing, detectives later confirmed. Clint Garrison was a friend who knew Chase since their high school days. He told police that his buddy had been drinking a lot since he returned from his deployment. Clint suspected Chase was using heroin too, according to the police report. Clint also heard rumors that Brad was Chase's hookup for drugs, but he didn't have any proof. Again, it was just rumors. Quote, Clint had heard accounts that Chase was using or looking to get heroin. We asked him if he knew of any source in the North Cobb area that Chase could have bought from. Clint advised a person would have to have a specific source and that they were in Marietta or Atlanta. Authorities had asked Brad about his alleged drug ties. Brad admitted he had done drugs in the past, but right now, he was clean from heroin. He denied selling heroin to Chase and said he wasn't sure if Chase was using the drug or not. The week before Chase vanished, Chase and Clint had hung out together. Chase was struggling emotionally. He talked about having problems with Amanda, as he felt his marriage was falling apart. Clint said Chase was also living with PTSD after his deployment. But no matter what the heavy burdens Chase was dealing with, Chase didn't seem suicidal to him. That week, Clint texted Chase at 3:25 p.m. on March 27th. What you doing, buddy? Chase never wrote back. Clint didn't delete the message. He kept it in his phone. Now, as the missing person investigation went on, Clint pulled out his phone and showed the Cobb County police his unanswered correspondence with his longtime friend. You can protect your home with Ring Alarm. Well, a few months ago, we installed the Ring video doorbell, and I love it. With Ring, I'm able to see who's at my door without even opening it, whether I'm home or away. It's the perfect way to start your Ring experience. Ring Alarm allows you to keep an eye on every corner of your house, but they're easy to install indoor and outdoor cams. Then you can use your Ring app to see what's happening from anywhere. Ring Alarm offers you peace of mind, knowing that your house is protected. Protect your home anytime from anywhere with Ring Alarm. Go to ring.com/court for a special offer on a Ring Alarm security kit today. You can build a system that's right for your home and have it up and running in minutes. That's ring.com/court. ring.com/court. Slow is just right if you're on a vacation, if you're a sloth, or if you're describing QuickBooks, more like slow books. It sucks you in and slows you down with manual processes, integration difficulties, and glitchy delays that leave you scrambling for the numbers you need. Now is the time to make the switch to NetSuite by Oracle, the number one financial system, because NetSuite gives you visibility and control of your financials, your inventory, HR, e-commerce, and more. It's everything you need to grow all in one place. With NetSuite, you can automate your processes and close your books in no time, no matter how big your business grows. Failing to switch to NetSuite will leave you stuck trying to make sense of your books while your competitors sprint ahead. 93% of surveyed businesses increased their visibility and control since switching to NetSuite. And right now, special financing is back. NetSuite is offering a one-of-a-kind financing program only for those ready to switch today. Head on over to netsuite.com/court right now. Get special financing at netsuite.com/court. That's netsuite.com/court. Chase's co-workers at the Quick Trip remember details from the night Chase vanished. Shanna Cothran, who considered Chase to be like a little brother, often worked the same shift as him. She had been there on March 26th when Chase walked in alone after his argument with Amanda. "Do I smell like alcohol?" Chase had asked her. Then he bought a beer and drank it in the bathroom. He purchased a second one after that. His bags were outside. Shanna encouraged him to bring them inside to the store for safekeeping. But Chase insisted he had some good green, a reference to marijuana. Chase was hesitant to bring his belongings inside in case customers smelled the odor, so the bags remained outside. Inside the store, Chase used the convenience store phone to make a call and then got into a conversation with Shanna. "I don't need a ride. I'm just going to go live in the woods," Chase told her. But then Brad Clement, one of the regular customers, showed up. Chase did have a ride after all. Chase rode off with his friend, and for whatever reason, he left his two shopping bags of personal belongings behind. At about 11 p.m., Chase called the store. He thanked Shanna for listening to him and said he planned to leave his bags where they were, outside. Shanna, worried someone would steal his stuff, hid them behind the dumpster. Shanna's nighttime shift was then over. She went home. On March 27th, she returned to work. The red flags were already popping up. Chase's bags were still out behind the dumpster, and they remained there for the entire day. And then on March 28th, too, Chase didn't come to pick them up. The store had reached out to Chase about returning a work pager, but Chase didn't respond. He wasn't responding to Shanna's messages either. Shanna contacted Amanda, which is how she first learned Chase was missing. Was Chase safe somewhere? Did he really follow through and go live in the woods like he said he was going to do, to hide from the rest of the world and from his failing marriage? Time would tell. Authorities probed deeper into the man who had apparently been the last person to see Chase alive. They sent a court order to AT&T to get information on Brad's phone number. With a Cobb County Superior Court order, Detective Twiggs wanted cell tower locations for Brad's phone from March 25th through April 1st. On March 26th, Chase first texted Brad at 7:19 a.m. They communicated through text messages and phone calls throughout the day, including Brad calling twice later that night. The phone records showed Brad called at 9:55 p.m., and they talked for about 4 minutes. He called again immediately after, at 9:59 p.m., and they talked for 14 minutes. In mid-September 2014, 6 months after Chase disappeared, Detective Twiggs spoke with a security analyst at Quick Trip's corporate office about obtaining surveillance video from the store from March 26th. But it was too late. The video was gone. That same month, Detective Twiggs also tried to follow the whereabouts of the dumpster that had been at Brad's home in March while his home was under construction. Unsurprisingly, the dumpster had been sent to the landfill months prior, and doing a search to pinpoint the contents was going to be both expensive and nearly impossible. According to the police report, quote, "A search of the landfill to the level that would contain the waste from April would not be feasible and would take a massive undertaking costing several hundreds of thousands of dollars. Canine cadaver dogs would also be of no help to track down the contents of Brad's dumpster. The dogs couldn't detect the human scent since the scent of household waste all around them in the landfill would throw them off." September was also the month when Brad declined to take a polygraph test, another bad break in the case. The community stayed involved as the weeks passed by, turning into months. The tips, however, rarely seemed to be helpful. In September, two women reported finding khaki pants on railroad tracks. The weather-beaten pants had no blood on them, although the police still submitted them and a striped blue shirt they found nearby as possible evidence. Someone else in Mississippi thought she saw a homeless man who looked like Chase. The homeless person did resemble Chase, according to both Chase's wife and mother, but they knew it wasn't him. one anonymous person reached out to Detective Twiggs with information, claiming someone named Kevin had told him that Chase was scared of a drug dealer who was after him for his debts. Yet when Detective Twiggs tracked down Kevin in November of 2014, Kevin said he hadn't talked to Chase in years and had no idea about any vengeful drug dealer. In December 2014, another anonymous caller told police he had overheard a concerning conversation between two men. The two men wanted to take care of Chase. They were angry over a disagreement, apparently about a laptop. The anonymous caller believed the two men may have killed Chase. Investigators followed up, just as they had with the other tips. One of the men said he recently brought up a Chase Dalton, not Chase Massner. And besides, he had an alibi that checked out. The two men mentioned by the anonymous caller both denied ever hurting Chase Massner. Strangers, their hearts pouring out for the Massner family, organized searches in the community too. Retired military and law enforcement officials from the Find Me group traveled to the area and conducted searches alongside roads, woods, by Brad's subdivision, and other places with their three cadaver canines. Those claiming to have spiritual gifts got involved too. One psychic did a reading with Chase's mom and walked around with other family members near their homes. Check the bodies of water around Canton Road and Jameson Road, the psychic suggested, although the Cobb County Police report noted they had already searched that area. Someone else contacted a Facebook page that had sprung up to raise awareness on Chase's story. I think Chase is the victim of a greater conspiracy of missing persons cases happening across the country, the man wrote. The Facebook page administrators passed it along to the police department, but it was another tip that wasn't just unhelpful, but downright bizarre. And it certainly wasn't the only one. Even Chase's own father, Corbin Massner, posted his theories on Facebook. He wrote that searching in Georgia for Chase was going to fail, since he said Chase wasn't in that state. He suspected his son was alive. Detective Twiggs contacted Corbin, who apologized for being a distraction to the police investigation. But he was adamant that Chase was very much alive. According to the police report, quote, Corbin made the statement that he wanted Chase to be left alone. He also advised a grown man can make his own decisions. Corbin, who lived in Iowa, claimed he had gotten a letter from a former Army lieutenant of Chase's, who said Chase was staying with him in Texas. Corbin said his son did not want to be found. But in another conversation, Detective Twiggs learned that letter was a hoax. Quote, Corbin began by stating the letter situation had blown up and that law enforcement was never supposed to have heard about the letter. He admitted there never was a letter. Chase's dad said he made the recent Facebook post to demonstrate that by him being a liar, it demonstrated how many liars were already on Facebook and involved in the investigation. He was upset because he and Amanda were being contacted by reporters and other persons on social media. They were being accused of things that were not true. He never intended for this to become a distraction to the investigation. Detective Twiggs and Chase's father also traded angry words. Here's what the detective said in the report. Quote, I bluntly told Corbin I was upset with his recent behavior and that it had caused a huge distraction. Corbin accused me of being a liar, and I pointed out that he was recently lying. Due to his behavior and purposely spreading lies and false leads, I informed Corbin that I would no longer be communicating with him. The bad feelings between the veteran police detective and the father of the missing man likely lingered. Detective Twiggs checked Corbin's Facebook page and noticed two posts in June of 2015 that referenced him. Again, here's what Detective Twiggs said in the report. Quote, the posts encouraged all social media investigators to learn how to conduct a proper investigation. It also instructed them to forward their findings to Detective Twiggs. It concluded with a sarcastic passage stating Detective Twiggs was counting on the Facebook investigators and believed in them. A copy of the post will be placed in the case file, the detective noted. Chase's father reportedly also contacted Stephanie, Chase's mother, telling her he knew where their son was. In one message to Stephanie, he wrote, "Twiggs can't help you. I know where Chase is. You insult Chase, you continue to insult the family with your social media and detectives, but in the end, you and Twiggs are the fools." From Detective Twiggs in the police report, quote, "Due to his most recent assertions that he knew the location of Chase, it was deemed prudent to have an uninvolved party make contact with Corbin. I made contact with Detective Melissa Moray of the Burlington Police Department. Corbin resided in Burlington, Iowa. I briefed Detective Moray on the investigation and requested that she make contact with Corbin about his most recent assertions of knowing the location of Chase." Detective Moray contacted Corbin and spoke with him by phone. He advised her that he wished for the investigation to be closed and for the search for Chase to stop. Detective Moray advised him that he was not the only one affected by Chase's disappearance. Corbin advised he was the only one who mattered. Corbin also stated that Chase does not want to be found. Corbin would not give a straight answer when asked if Chase was alive or dead. Corbin also stated he hoped that the police wasted the next 5 years looking for Chase, because Chase will never be found. Missing in America, a search and rescue organization, searched several locations in the area in 2015. They found discarded clothing, but nothing matched to what Chase was last seen wearing. The organization shared a report of where they had been looking with the Cobb County Police Department. Whenever an unidentified body turned up around the country, like in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, or Grand Junction, Colorado, or New Brunswick, New Jersey, authorities followed up, just in case. But they never made a positive ID for Chase. The following year, in 2015, Brad Clement sold his home that he had been trying to renovate. He was reportedly struggling financially. The buyers, who were friends of his mother, bought the house as a favor to the Clement family and had plans to try and flip it. They then sold the house in 2016. Brad wasn't the only one trying to move on. In 2015, Amanda decided to move out of Georgia to be closer to Chase's extended family in Iowa. She couldn't escape. Someone had contacted her future neighbors in Iowa and had gone to her soon-to-be new home to search it, Amanda said. She complained to the Cobb County Police Department that the person was spreading false rumors about her in relation to the case. She passed along the phone number the stranger had been giving out to her neighbors. Using a subpoena, Detective Twiggs eventually tracked down the person's identity. It was Brandon Heaton, a Georgia man who ran a Facebook page that profiled investigations in the state, including Chase's disappearance. Detective Twiggs interviewed him in 2016. Brandon Heaton had helped search for Chase in 2014. He had also spoken with a private investigator and admitted he traveled to Iowa to probe deeper on his own. He shared his theory with Detective Twiggs. He said he believed Chase was alive and was living with family in Iowa. Part of his reasoning for this was apparently because Amanda had opened a P.O. box in Iowa and added her husband's name to it. Other people also had ideas for what may have happened to Chase, such as a former co-worker at the Quick Trip who reached out to police in August of 2016. Jason Preets, whose shifts at the convenience store overlapped with Chase's, said his wife encouraged him to call for some time, but that he did not feel he had any information that would be relevant. He finally decided to make contact anyway. Quote, Jason stated that Chase confided to him that he was very unhappy with his marriage. Chase told Jason the only reason he was still in his marriage was for his kids. Jason stated he had seen Chase with bruises on his arms. Chase reportedly told him his wife would hit him during arguments. Jason also elaborated more on Chase's fascination with living on the edge of society in the woods. Chase was an outdoorsman and the kind of person who wanted to be off the grid, Jason told Detective Twiggs. Chase was curious about whether he could make it all work. According to the report, quote, 3 days before Chase went missing, Chase asked Jason about tips on how to go off the grid. Jason said he shared his best advice during his last conversation he had ever had with Chase. Only use cash. Get odd jobs as a day laborer. Live in a campground near water. In 2017, a woman named Jennifer Lockhart posted a comment on the Chase Massner Facebook page, which caught the attention of law enforcement. They reached out to her to learn more. Jennifer described going out to dinner with her boyfriend and his friend, who turned out to be Brandon Duck, the very roofer who had already been interviewed by police years earlier, telling the Cobb County Police he hadn't seen Chase leaving Brad's place on March 27th. Jennifer's boyfriend and Brandon Duck traded stories back and forth about things that had happened to them on jobs, and Brandon brought up the Chase Massner case and how he had been at Brad's house. It was clear, Jennifer felt, that Brandon knew more details about what had happened. What he said piqued her interest because she had already been paying attention to the investigation. At dinner, Brandon said he remembered Chase and Brad arguing about something. The next day, Brandon thought he saw evidence of a gunshot at Brad's home. Where was Chase? Brandon's guess was Chase's body ended up in the dumpster at Brad's house. Quote, Jennifer advised she posted on the social media page about the information, and she was immediately contacted by multiple persons. She was also contacted by a reporter who wanted to interview her. She again stated her hesitancy in contacting law enforcement. After Jennifer's tip, Detective Twiggs wanted to ask Brandon Duck more questions. Had he told everything he knew to the police? In a follow-up police interview in February 2017, Brandon confirmed that he and his crew hadn't seen anyone besides Brad at the house, but he did share something else. Quote, he stated that he had placed a sign in the front yard of Clement's house as an advertisement. When he later went back to retrieve the sign, he noticed a hole. Brandon stated it seemed it could have been a bullet hole. He also said Brad seemed to be pushing for the roofers to say they noticed Chase leaving his house. Yeah, you saw him, or you guys saw him, Brad kept saying to Brandon, even though nobody had. Throughout the day, Brad had also acted strangely, Brandon recounted. Brad wanted to take the roofers on a tour of his home to show off his home improvement repairs. He grilled lunch for them. Remember that backyard fire? But Brad didn't really eat himself. He was overly talkative, Brandon remembered. It seemed strange. Was Brad under the influence of something? Was he trying to create an alibi, which might explain why he was spending so much time with them? It was clear police were not hopeful of finding Chase Massner alive by 2017. They collected a DNA sample from Stephanie, Chase's mom, in case they ever found his remains and needed to identify them. Even though 3 years had passed, Chase's case got a surge of attention when Nancy Grace covered the story on her podcast in March of 2017. Nancy Grace re-examined the evidence and interviewed Chase's mother, Stephanie. Every day she looks at her son's picture. Every day she wonders, where is he? What happened? What can I do to find him? Nancy said. Cobb County Police were listening too, especially when Nancy interviewed another guest for the episode, Brad Clement. According to the police report, Brad said on the podcast that he always believed Amanda had picked Chase up from his house while he was out at the store that morning on March 27th. In the summer of 2017, the biggest developments in the cold case were finally unfolding. It would finally provide some answers to Chase's family. The Atlanta Journal-Constitution reported that Cobb County Police had received a tip that prompted them to search Brad's former home again in June 2017. This time, they found something. Two cadaver dogs alerted by the back porch. Under the deck was a square concrete slab covered with wooden lattice. A radar scan didn't show any definitive signs that something was buried underneath the concrete, but investigators decided to continue the search nonetheless. They obtained a warrant on July 31st for the back of the property. Using a backhoe from the Department of Transportation to pull up the concrete slab, they were back on site August 1st. Quote, "When the concrete was removed, we noted what appeared to be black plastic sticking up from the dirt. I pulled on the plastic and realized it was a large sheet of plastic. With hands, I removed soil from around the area and located a sock that was inside the plastic. There was also an odor that identified with decomposing remains. I tugged on the sock and was able to observe what appeared to be bones from a human foot." Brad's home, the police report said, was officially a crime scene. Inside the plastic bag were clothes, a red Quick Trip sweatshirt and khaki pants, the outfit Chase was last seen wearing when he disappeared. That day, Detective Twiggs and his sergeant traveled to Atlanta to speak with Brad, who was at his mother's house. Brad was just getting into his car when Detective Twiggs approached.
Hey, Brad? Brad? Hey, buddy. Hey. Hey, you remember me? I'm Twiggs, remember?
Yeah,
you doing all right?
Yeah.
Okay. Can you do me one favor, just shut the car off?
Yeah, I'm in a kind of a hurry, but...
I understand.
Can I help you with something?
Brad's mom walked over, asking what they wanted and why they were there. Detective Twiggs said they just wanted to ask him something. She asked what. "Brad's an adult, ma'am," Detective Twiggs responded. "He's an adult, but he's living at my house right now, and you're on my property," she said. "I have a right to know."
"Brad?"
"Yeah?"
"You know why I'm here."
"What? About the Chase thing?"
"Yeah."
"What's going on with it?"
"Well, that's what I want to talk to you about, man."
"Okay.
You want to come and chat with us about it?"
Don't really have time. What?
You got to fix the car. The door's off the car. I have to drive it to work tomorrow."
"Okay."
"You're kind of unannounced."
True. "Well, we've had some developments today."
They told him what they had found.
"You know, kind of pulled a body out from behind the deck."
"What?"
"Yeah, we found him, bro."
"What?
What deck?"
"There's...
at the house. So
that's
I need a. There's, it's one of those things, man. We talked three times, man. You were super cool with me. I was super cool with you.
Yeah,
I took you at your word.
That's,
and then here we are 3 years later, and we're pulling Chase out from under your deck at the house.
What the hell?
And you're the last one to have been with him, dude. I don't have an arrest warrant for you. We finished up. I got cleaned up, took my shower after getting him out. And then came down here to chat with you.
I think we're going to get a lawyer.
What
I think you're not
going to
say another word without a lawyer present. Okay?
So,
we're going to lawyer up.
I'm talking
mother.
To Brad.
I know. I'm the mother.
I mean, because this is ridiculous.
I know, but you know what? They've got new information. We need to have a lawyer to find out what information they have. So you need to keep your mouth shut and request a lawyer right now.
Brad continued to express surprise, while his mom encouraged him to stop talking.
This is ridiculous.
I know that, Brad, but until you find out what they know, we're going to request a lawyer right now. Because that's not fair. There's nothing fair about that.
I'm just looking for the how he got there, man.
I have no clue. Literally, this whole time,
Like, it's like I've been set up this whole time. Like, I hardly even knew this.
Well, and going along with, who would set you up? I mean, for real, who do you think would set you up on this, man?
We are going to ask for a lawyer. I'm going to ask you now, politely, to please leave until we have a lawyer.
Just let me talk to him for a second. I mean, there's nothing, I'm not primitive myself. I had no clue it was there. Like, I mean, this is just...
I understand.
I mean...
But you can see from my position, Yeah, no, we've had some
from
talk.
From my position being the mom and y'all just dropping by with new evidence, I think we need a lawyer to be able to talk on equal grounds.
I'm just looking to get some explanation, Brad.
My son's a lawyer. Don't say a word. We want a lawyer. Repeat after me. Don't say a word. We're getting a lawyer. Chris would say that, Brad. I'll call him right now.
You got to come up with an explanation.
Where? I mean,
you got to come up with an explanation, man. It's on your property.
I mean,
it was on your property.
Where was it?
Though? Under the deck, in the back deck. So,
yeah.
All right.
Detective Twiggs left his number and said he would be more than happy to talk with him whenever he's ready.
All right, man. Well, either your brother or whoever, talk with them. Have them, if they want to reach out to me, perfectly fine. And I can talk with them and they can make a decision. You and them can make a decision whether or not you want to make a statement at that point. But just letting you know, we pulled Chase out from the deck.
It didn't take long for Brad to get a defense attorney. He had one later that day, according to the police report. Brad may not have been talking to the police, but he was doing interviews with the local media. He told a CBS 46 journalist that he was being set up and had no idea how Chase's body got into his yard. Years into the case that had gone cold at one point, Detective Twiggs was finally ready to make an arrest. He had a warrant for Brad on one count of concealing a death. Brad didn't turn himself in. He was on the run for several days until he was arrested in Atlanta on August 10th. A photograph in the Atlanta Journal-Constitution showed Brad getting taken into custody. He was laying face down on the ground of a parking lot, drenched by the rain. Using dental records, the medical examiner's office confirmed that the badly decomposed human remains were indeed Chase Massner. But other questions weren't so easy to answer. What had happened at Brad's house on March 26th and March 27th? How did Chase die? The medical examiner's office ruled the cause and manner of death as undetermined. According to a statement from the Cobb County District Attorney's Office, quote, the remains were so decomposed that even extensive forensic testing, including an examination by a forensic anthropologist at the Mayo Clinic, was unable to discern a cause and manner of death. The Atlanta Journal-Constitution reported that though it isn't clear if drugs had a role in his death, an autopsy found methamphetamine and morphine in his system, according to the Cobb County Medical Examiner's Office. The Medical Examiner's Office said the morphine in Chase's system was because of his history with heroin. And so Chase's name again appeared in the media after so many years. A man who had reportedly been going through hard times was now a murder victim. His family chose to reflect on a different Chase they knew, the goofy, carefree, and happy one. This is from his obituary in The Hawkeye, a newspaper in Burlington, Iowa. Quote, Chase will be remembered for his silly antics that always made his loved ones laugh, as well as his caring and generous demeanor. He never met a stranger and was always willing to help someone in need. He was known to light up a room with his smile. Chase was a free spirit and brought joy to everyone he crossed paths with. He was courageous and will never be forgotten. There would be no trial. 33-year-old James Bradshaw Clement, otherwise known as Brad, entered an Elford plea to one count of concealing the death of another person and one count of making a false statement. In December 2018, he was sentenced to 8 years in prison and 7 years on probation. In a statement from Chase's mother that was read out loud in court, she said, "Words cannot begin to explain the torment me and my family and Chase's friends have been put through at the hands of Brad Clement." Before he was let out of the courtroom, Brad gave a short message to Chase's family. "I'm very sorry for your loss," he said. And that's all for this episode. As always, I'd love to know what you think about this case. Let me know by joining the conversation on Instagram at Court Junkie, by tweeting me at Court Junkie Pod, or you can email me at podcast@courtjunkie.com. This episode was researched and written by Gabrielle Roussan. To hear these episodes without the ads or to check out additional Court Junkie bonus episodes, go to courtjunkie.com/support, which will redirect you to my Patreon page. Thanks again for listening. Until next time. 5G is here, but the big carriers want you to sign a pricey long-term contract to get in on it. Not anymore, because Straight Talk Wireless has rolled out 5G coverage nationwide, with plans starting at just $35 a month and no contract, all on America's best networks. Plus, get the latest smartphones from brands like Samsung, or you can bring your own phone and keep your number and 5G network just by swapping your SIM card. 5G coverage, 5G phones, less money. Straight Talk Wireless, no contract, no compromise. Available at Walmart and Walmart.com. 5G capable device required. Actual availability, coverage, and speed may vary. Keep your own phone requires a compatible unlocked phone and Straight Talk KYOP kit. May need to change phone's APN settings.